sit on the porch all summer. Everybody would ride by or walk by on their bikes, and they'd laugh at me. And then when Ernie came up, I got off a punishment because his mom and stepdad and my dad and stepmother were real good friends. And they finally bought a house together at 613 and 613 and a half Lake Street. And, of course, there was the old EFA then. It's Ernie Davis Middle School now. So that's where we grew up when he moved up. And he was an outstanding young man all the way through high school. You know, the records are 52 straight in basketball, and playing his first game with the cast on, scoring 20-something points, and everything is true. And he was just, and as he got older, you know, he was maintaining that decorum. He went out of his way to help people, always had a smile on his face, very close to his mom, and remember a monumental Baptist church where we went. I can't say enough about the guy. If you didn't know him, you see this movie, you wish you had. And if you know him, it was a privilege to have known him.
When you think back, and certainly you must have had a lot of great memories of your boyhood and growing up together and so forth. You were Ernie's best friend. Was there any one particular memory or memories that jump out when you mention Ernie Davis and Buzzy Stark?
One, we played checkers together a lot. I consider myself a good checker player. He was a good checker player, and I never beat him. So it was one particular afternoon, we were sitting over at his house. So we were playing checkers. And I just wondered why, you know, I said, geez, this is an easy game, you know, with him, because I never beat him. So every time I jump his man, I take it. So we finished the game, and I said, well, Ern, I finally beat you. He says, no, you didn't. I said, what do you mean? I said, I got all your men. He says, I was playing giveaway. And that was so funny. And we laughed about it. But we spent evenings together in his kitchen with his mom, and his mom would always say, Ernie, you're walking on the back of your slippers. And he'd laugh, and, you know, she'd look at him and shake his head, that particular boy, you know, we'd laugh about it. Because we had a double house in the kitchen where we could go from each side. And another time incident was we were playing football up in the White Plains, New York. That's the year we went undefeated, 8-0. So I was scrimmage bait, of course, they call all the subs. And so I got in the game as a quarterback, and I called four quarterback sneaks back-to-back. I gained about a minus 1 yard. So he come over after the game, you know, and he says, Buzz, what's going on? What was that play there you called? I said, I called four of them, Ern. I said, they were all for me. And we got a big kick out of that.
You obviously saw the debut in Syracuse, and fans here in this area will have that opportunity
right ahead
of a national audience on Thursday. What did you come away with as far as the movie overall, and how true to the Ernie Davis that you knew was the movie?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was amazing. It was, you know, it brought tears to your eyes. It was like, it was different from Brian's song. Because you knew this guy, right? He brought up in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, and being harassed and going through adversity with race relations, and even at Syracuse, even here in Elmira. But he maintained a calm and cool, collective person. You know, he never flew off the handle, and he never let the success go to his head. Dallas, the Cotton Bowl game, same way. And that was the type of guy he was. He didn't want to give up. Never did. And he wrote me from Bedside, Maryland, when he had was diagnosed with a leukemia. He was going into recession. And he said, when he wrote the letter, everything was about everybody in Elmira. He was, you know, how are they doing? How are your parents doing? And who's this person? What's he doing now? How's he feel? Nothing ever about his condition other than that it's, I'm going to be able to play. That was this big thing on his mind, is getting back with the Browns and being able to get on that field, which never happened. The movie itself, his uncles and I were always close friends of my family and kids. They used to come to Elmar to visit their sister, Ernie's mom. And we talked a lot of sports. His one uncle was a little All-American at Westminster. His other uncle played semi-pro ball. I talked to Chuck Davis after the movie and told him I thought it was right on. And he said, you know, he says, a lot of people think things are left out, which were like Elmar. I think they should include Elmar more. But the movie, their family was happy with it because a lot of the information, or most of it, came from the family. And the book also, The Elmar Express. I was happy with the movie because it told so much about him, and I'm so glad that his mom shared him with everybody in Elmar and Syracuse and all over the world.
Unfortunately and sadly, Mrs. Fleming passed before she actually had a chance to see the movie itself.
That's correct.
And I know that there were several attempts, different junctures of time, to possibly produce a movie, perhaps not by the same company. And I know that Mrs. Fleming was not pleased with that, with the results or the projection on that. Do you think, in knowing her, that she would have been pleased with this rendition?
I think she would have been, because that's one thing she was worried about, was were they going to portray Ernie like the Ernie he was, not like someone else. And I think she would have been happy because shows so much of the family, the Davis family, who are a strong family. And Ernie was raised in that family with his grandfather and his mother. And after she came back to get him and bring him to Elmira. And so there's so much love there and so much stability. And he knew... Even in Syracuse, he ran into adverse conditions. Here in Elmira, he ran into adverse conditions. A lot of things people don't know, and I don't discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all over the world, prejudice. Because I know when they wanted to name the new EFA after Ernie, they had petitions out, and I distributed some of them. And when I went back to pick them up, a lot of the places had buried them. You know, maybe one or two signatures, but it wasn't out there for the people to sign. Regardless of whether or not they were going to name it after him. It was an opportunity for people to show their appreciation, but it didn't happen that way. And maybe it's better that the middle school is named after him now.
Have we grown any? Have we learned anything since those early days when racial divisions were at their height?
Yeah, we've learned that they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're always going to be there. I mean, it's not going to be utopia type world, but they're still there and they're going to be there, and it's unfortunate, but that's maybe God wanted it that way. Maybe everything's not supposed to be good,
What would Ernie think of this, all the accolades that have been put upon him and all the attention? Would he have been one to just kind of shy away from that?
I think he could handle it, and he did handle while he was alive, all the honors that he received. And he was just a humble person, was a religious person. He thanked God. I know in his mind, he's probably looking down right now at us and telling people, you know, don't be the problem, be the solution to the problem. That's the type of person he was. Always had a big smile on his face. He was an awesome guy.
What do you think he would say to Buzzy Stark many years down the road now?
I'm quite sure that Ernie and we'd probably sit down and reminisce, if he was alive, about the old days at Academy and next door, him coming over to my house and me going over to his side and laughing. There was a lot of guys that grew up with us that are deceased now that we went to school with, Cox and Brigham and Billy Freeman and Paul Looney, guys that played on the football team, guys that played on the basketball team. It was fun, and it was a closeness among the guys, and I think if those guys were alive today, it still would be that same way.